You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
By merely noting a clock skew without engaging in any further analysis, such as tethering that clock skew or otherwise connecting it to the tech stream event in Dr. Welcher's slide presentation.
No, I did not.
Switch to another topic. Take that down. Thank you, Mr. Wobe. After reviewing, and I'm going to identify three timelines. After reviewing the timelines, you reviewing the timelines presented by Dr. Welcher, one, Mr. DeSogra, two, and Mr. Ian Whiffen, three, all of which established that the 1162.2 tech stream event occurred before that last user activity, the lock on Mr. O'Keefe's phone, you then decided to issue a new report that would become dated May 8, 2025, correct?
Objection.
I'm going to allow that.
No, so I issued the supplemental report based on that presentation that you just had up.
Well, before you issued that report, isn't it correct that you had reviewed the time data of Dr. Welcher in the slide that we've been reviewing?
Not before that time, no.
You had not looked at Dr. Welcher's slide with a tech stream event 1162.2 and a time for that before issuing your May 8th report?
No, yes, before my, sorry, misheard you, yes.
That's my question.
Yes.
So what I, let me just ask it through a question.
Sure.
So it is correct that before you issued your May 8th, 2025 report, that you had reviewed that slide of your colleague, Dr. Welcher, on 1162.2 that establishes the tech stream event as 12:31:38 to 12:31:43, correct?
Correct.
You reviewed it before your May 8th report.
Yes.
Also reviewed before your May 8th report the slide presentation of Mr. DeSogra, correct?
Yes, I did.
And before you issued your May 8th, 2025 report, you also had reviewed the January 2025 report of Mr. Whiffen, correct?
Correct.
Each one of and all of those three established that the 1162.2 tech stream event occurred before the last user activity on Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
Objection. I'm going to allow it if that's what, let's see what the answer is.
Using either unadjusted timestamps or inaccurately adjusted timestamps, yes.
Let me ask my question again, and if it's not clear, please let me know.
Sure.
After reviewing what we've discussed, prepared by Dr. Welcher, Mr. DeSogra, and Ian Whiffen, each and all of which established that the 1162.2 tech stream event occurred before the last user activity on Mr. O'Keefe's phone, you then decided to issue a new report that would become dated May 8, 2025. Is that statement I just made correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Now let's take a look at your May 8, 2025 report. You departed in your May 8th, 2000. Sir, do you have that report in front of you?
I do, yes.
Do you need a moment to look at it, or are you ready to take questions?
No, go ahead.
Thank you. You departed from your analysis. Let's start it this way. In this May 8th, 2025 report, you departed from your analysis in your January 2025 report to reach a conclusion that would attempt to put the 1162.2 tech stream event after human interaction with Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
No, I did not depart from my original report. I clarified.
Okay. So you didn't depart from it, but you, in your May 8th report, but your position is you clarified it.
Correct.
But isn't it correct that in your January 30, 2025 report, you did not address at all whether the 1162.2 text stream event occurred before or after the last user event on Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
Correct.
But you did that in your May 8th report, correct?
Correct.
You don't call that a change, sir?
No, sir, I do not.
You call that a clarification?
I do.
In your January 2025 report, you compared call log entries between the infotainment system on the Lexus and Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone to determine a potential variance, correct?
Correct.
And call logs are discrete points in time that are fairly easy to compare?
Correct.
Now, in your May 8th, 2025 report, you abandoned the call log analysis from your January 30th, 2025 report, correct?
No, I did not abandon it.
But you did depart from it, at least in some respects, correct?
I did not depart from it. I used another method.
Okay. So you used another method.
Correct.
In your May 8, 2025 report, you opined, as I understand it, that the call log variance has been ignored because, in your words, this offset is measured approximately 5 hours after the time of the alleged collision and cannot be assumed to apply to other time frames as stated in the initial report. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Now, please show me, show the juror, in your January 30 report where you ever made that statement.
So that would, it's not worded exactly like that, but that would be in conclusion 5.
And conclusion number 5 is on page 37 of your January 30, 2025 report, correct?
Correct.
And you concede at least as much that at least different words are used in paragraph 5 in your January 30th, 2025 report, correct? And your position is that it's the same statement as in your May 8th, 2025 report? Because that's my question.
That is correct.
In your May 8th, 2025 report, instead of applying the offsets from the call logs, which are discrete points in time that are fairly easy to compare, as you stated just moments ago, you decided to use, in your words, quote, approximate time of the three-point turn as your anchor between the two devices. Do I have that right?
Yes, you did.
Isn't what you did and we just discussed a classic example of confirmation bias, which is to be avoided in science.
No, it is not.
So you believe that that is not confirmation bias?
No.
Choosing the three-point turn as the independent data source is the only way you could ever get the text stream event to even possibly occur after the lock event on Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
That adjustment is the only adjustment that can be applied due to the data, yes.
And that adjustment is the only thing that can be done to get the text stream event 1162.2 to occur after the lock on Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
Correct.
And that only one is the one that you chose, correct?
Correct.
And that's only because it's not a pinpoint in time. It's an amorphous range that can only, in your words, be approximated, correct?
No, that is because it is the only time adjustment in that time range that can be applied.
So it's your view that that's the only one that can be applied, but it is an, even what you're using is, in your words, an approximate time, correct?
Correct.
Isn't the shortcoming, sir, in your analysis that you ignored the additional user activity on Mr. O'Keefe's device that occurred after the lock event?
After, can you repeat that question?
Yes, I can. Isn't the shortcoming in your analysis, sir, that your analysis ignores the additional user activity on John O'Keefe's device, his cell phone, that occurred after the lock event?
No.
Well, let's take a look at events that, you tell me if I'm correct or not, occur after the text stream event 1162.2.
Sure.
So, do you recall our discussion yesterday about the Apple Health data event of 36 steps covering a distance of over 84 feet? Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
And do you recall that that occurred at 12:32:16?
Yes, I do.
And that's after the text stream event of Dr. Welcher that he put in his slide, correct?
Correct.
Do you also recall a Doppler pocket state detection at 12:33:14? Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
And that is almost an entire minute after the 1162.2 text stream event that is identified by your colleague, the licensed engineer, Dr. Welcher, in his slide presentation, correct?
Correct. And neither one of those are user interaction.
I understand your, well, but let's just take one of them.
Sure.
And that is the Apple Health data event of 36 steps covering a distance of 84 feet at 12:32:16. Would you agree that those steps covering that distance is human activity at least? Would you agree that's human activity?
Yes.
Thank you. Let's take a look at opinion number 7 in your initial January 30th, 2025 report. And sir, tell me when you had a fair opportunity to locate that.
Okay.
You concluded to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty that, quote, the infotainment module power on events were on average recorded 3 seconds after the ignition release or finger off, correct?
Correct.
That means that your own testing requires an offset of -3 to account for a delay in the power on of an infotainment system, correct?
Correct.
That increases the time between the TechStream event 11.62.2 and the iPhone lock event by 3 seconds, correct?
Correct.
You testified about this same 3 second discrepancy yesterday during your direct examination in connection with your January 30, 2025 report, correct?
Correct.
However, you did not mention this offset of 3 seconds in your May 8th, 2025 report, did you?
No, I did not. Can I explain?
Mr. Brennan may have questions for you with regard to that. So nowhere in your May 8, 2025 report did you include the 3 second offset that you discussed in your January 30, 2025 report, did you?
Correct.
And in fact, sir, nowhere in your May 8th report do you even discuss why you're not addressing that 3 second, do you?
I do not discuss it, but it is, that offset is adjusted within the adjustment that we do with the 3-point turn.
I understand. My question is simply, there's no discussion in your May 8th, 2025 report how or why you're not discussing that 3 second offset, correct?
Correct.
I've got a next section, Your Honor, if you would like me to move into it.
So why don't we keep going?
Okay. Sir, a TechStream data event like 11.62.2 does not, well, let me back up this way. You testified on direct that you're involved in accident reconstruction. That's part of the work that you do, sir?
No, that is not part of the work that I do.
Well, let me clarify then. Do you at all understand whether there's an issue as to whether a collision actually occurred in this case? Do you understand if that's an issue?
Objection.
Sustained.
Sir, do you have any understanding about what Dr. Welcher in his slide presentation was addressing in context with this case? Do you understand it?
Objection.
I'll allow a yes or no on that.
No, I do not.
So you have no idea what your colleague, Dr. Welcher, who's working on the same case, was addressing in his slide presentation?
Generally, yes, but I cannot speak to it.
What do you generally understand?
Objection.
Sustained.
What understanding do you have after reading Dr. Welcher's slide presentation?
Objection.
Sustained. Ask it differently. Sustained.
Do you have any understanding? Can we approach, Your Honor?
Sure.
May I proceed, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for your patience, Mr.
Yes,
Burgess.
Sir.
I would like to go back to the line of questioning I was starting, and that is I would like to discuss with you, and I'll start with your conclusion, and I'm going to reference your May 8th, 2025 report, sir. If you could turn to the conclusion section of your report, which is on page 7. And I'm going to start with, and I may just end with, we'll see, conclusion number 1. Please take a fair opportunity to read that. Pick your head up when you have concluded that fair reading.
Okay.
Now, that paragraph 1 states, under conclusions, you say the following can be stated to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty. 1. As noted in my initial report, the only call logs that can be used to compare and synchronize the clocks between Ms. Reed's Lexus and Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone are those occurring between 5:21 a.m. and 5:30 a.m., which occur approximately 5 hours after the collision. You see that, sir?
I do, yes.
Now, what I'd like you to do is to go back in your report.
Same report?
Yes, sir, same report, May 8th. And I'd like you to turn to page 3.
Okay.
And if you could go to the fourth full paragraph that begins with two events near the time. And let me know, sir, when you're there. And if you could read that paragraph, pick your head up after you've had a fair opportunity to read it.
Okay.
Thank you. Now, you state two events near the time of the collision were recorded by the Lexus system as identified by Dr. Welcher and referenced by Mr. DeSogra. The first event, labeled Techstream Event 11621, is associated with a three-point turn on Cedarcrest Road. The second event, labeled Techstream Event 11622, is associated with a reverse maneuver on Fairview Road. These events will be referenced below for clock synchronization analysis. The timestamps associated with these two events are based on a combination of the Lexus infotainment power on event and Techstream time count. Did I read that correctly, sir?
Yes, you did.
So in the same paragraph, am I correct that you're discussing a couple of Techstream events, 11621 and 11622?
Yes.
And you are talking about that Techstream event at the, in the same paragraph as you're talking about an alleged collision, correct?
Correct.
And in your paragraph of your conclusion that we were referencing, conclusion one, is this paragraph part of the basis for that conclusion one? Is this sort of like some predicate analysis for conclusion number one?
No, no, it is not.
So it has no, your view, it has no relationship whatsoever to conclusion one?
No, correct.
So let's go to your discussion of a collision and a Techstream event. Let's go back to paragraph 3. You see, you mentioned the word collision in paragraph 3, correct?
I do not.
I'm sorry,
I just had paragraph 3. I meant page 3, sir.
Page 3.
Page 3, that paragraph we were just looking at. Paragraph 4.
Yes, sorry, yes, I do say collision.
You see the word, use of the word collision.
Yes.
And again, that term is used in the same paragraph as you're identifying Techstream events 11621 and 11622, correct?
Correct.
Where did you get the basis to use the word collision at that part of your report?
That would have been from crash reports.
And whose crash reports?
The Massachusetts State Police.
So you used Massachusetts State Police reports to discuss allegations of a crash, collision?
Yes.
Do you state anywhere in your May 8th report that you used those reports at all. Do you list it in your references?
No, not in this report, no.
And as a matter of fact, this is the first time, right this previous moment, that you are mentioning those reports at all, correct?
No, those were mentioned in my initial report.
But I'm talking about your May 8th report.
Yes, sorry, yes.
Okay. Your statements, and I want to clarify this because this is the ultimate topic I want to go to. It is not your conclusion that every TechStream data event means that there is a collision. Do you, sir?
No, that is not my conclusion.
So isn't it correct that you can have TechStream events and they're not collisions?
Yes, you can.
And isn't it a fact that a TechStream event, sometimes called a trigger event, is not like an airbag type deploying, correct? They're just, and we're going to get to this later, it's just something that happens with a Lexus vehicle that can cause the vehicle to register a TechStream event, correct?
Correct.
And some people refer to TechStream event as a trigger, correct?
Correct.
But there's many things that can happen with a vehicle that can cause a trigger, correct?
Correct.
We will come back to that. So you would agree, again, that a TechStream trigger event does not mean that there was a collision, correct?
Correct.
A TechStream data event doesn't mean that airbags were deployed, correct?
Correct.
A trigger data event doesn't mean that there was a vehicle impact, correct?
By itself, no.
By itself, correct. It doesn't mean, correct?
Correct.
A TechStream data event merely refers to Lexus's practice of capturing real-time data from applications' databases and not devices and transporting that data for immediate processing and storage or for real-time analysis and analytics reporting, correct?
I don't think I understand your question. If you could rephrase.
Sure. A TechStream event merely refers to Lexus's practice of capturing real-time data from applications and databases. Is that correct?
I would not call it applications and databases, no.
What would you call it?
So from various sensors or other modules on the vehicle.
Okay, so sure. It's Lexus's practice of capturing real-time data from various sensors and modules on the vehicle, right?
Correct.
Why don't we stop here, Mr. Lessie?
Yes.
Okay. Folks, we'll take our morning recess. So it's 20 minutes.
All rise, please. Sure, close your notebooks and follow me. Session, you may be seated.
All right, Mr. Lessie, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Burgess. I'm going to pick up, sir, where we left off. A TechStream trigger event does not automatically mean there was a collision, correct?
Correct.
A TechStream data event doesn't, without more, mean an airbag deployed, correct?
Correct.
A trigger data event doesn't mean, without more, that there was a vehicle impact, correct?
Correct.
A TechStream event merely refers to Lexus's practice of capturing real-time data from applications in databases, correct?
Sensors and other modules.
That's right. You said that earlier, sir. Sensors and modules. You reviewed the raw TechStream trigger events on Ms. Reed's vehicle, correct?
No, I did not.
Oh, you did not?
No.
Do you understand whether, do you have an understanding whether Mr. DeSogra reviewed those events in his March 5, 2025 report?
I do not.
So you did not review the raw data for TechStream trigger events on Ms. Reed's vehicle, and you did not therefore perform any analysis of that data as you sit here today, correct?
Correct, outside of what Dr. Welcher provided.
Are you aware that there were approximately 30 TechStream trigger events in an 8-month period on Ms. Reed's vehicle?
No, I'm not.
Assume the data shows that in the mere 8-month period that Ms. Reed owned her vehicle, the Lexus in question, there were 30 TechStream trigger events. Assume that. You would not conclude that there were 30 collisions in that 8-month period, would you?
No, I would not.
Would you agree, sir, that there were actually 2 triggers on January 29th?
Yes.
And the first trigger that you referred to of 1162-1, that was not a collision, was it, sir?
Without reviewing the data, I don't know.
Well, as you sit here today, you have no basis to state that the 1162-1 trigger was a collision, do you?
No, I do not.
And in fact, didn't you refer to that as a 3-point turn?
I did, yes.
And you didn't mention in your direct testimony when you talked about the 3-point turn anything about a collision, did you?
No, I did not.
And as you sit here today, there's no fact or data that you have to conclude that there was any supposed collision associated with that 1162-1 3-point turn trigger event, correct?
Correct.
A trigger event can occur on a Lexus vehicle by a whole host of possibilities, correct?
Correct.
You could maybe slam on the brakes and cause a trigger event?
That is one possibility. Yep.
You could have just unusual driving. You could be going at a speed or doing something else that has nothing at all to do with a collision, correct?
That is correct.
And in fact, there are almost countless events that can occur that can cause a trigger event in a Lexus vehicle.
So I don't know the exact count of what type of triggers there are, but yes, there are
many.
A number. Yes.
So back to the 1162-1 3-point turn trigger event. On your direct examination, you just referred to events surrounding that as a 3-point turn, correct?
Correct.
And yet that 3-point turn registered as a trigger event, right?
Correct.
Are Lexus SUVs trigger happy?
I do not know, sir.
As you sit here today, none of the information in that black box that you referred to on your direct testimony indicates that there was a collision on January 29th, does it?
Not by itself.
Not by itself.
Correct.
And it doesn't occur that none of the information in that black box indicates that there was a collision on any day without more, correct?
Correct.
I'd like to now turn to a different topic, sir. In your direct examination, you referenced a Ms. Maggie Gaffney. Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
And wasn't part of your reference to her a criticism of her for some of the work that she did with respect to the Lexus SUV?
Yes, it was.
And for instance, you criticized her for failing to extract the micro SD card from the circuit board during the initial chip off, right?
So, sure. So I did criticize for not identifying the micro SD card and subsequently not downloading it, yes.
And on direct, you even tried to lay at her footsteps, if you will, your bits, bytes misinterpretation on her by claiming that you assumed, quote, a competent expert, close quote, would not have overlooked a relevant chip, so you became confused how there could be data missing. Is that a fair characterization?
No, it is not.
Did you at all try to use as a justification for your misunderstanding of bits and bytes that it was her work?
Her word?
Her work.
Her work.
Yes, her work.
So it was the, you know, overlooking of the SD card, yes.
Right. So you did try to lay at her footsteps part of the reason why you misinterpreted the bits and bytes that we discussed yesterday. Is that correct?
No, that is not correct.
Okay. So you would agree then that the bits and bytes misinterpretation that you and I discussed yesterday had nothing to do with the work of Ms. Gaffney, correct?
So in part, but that was my mistake, yes.
All right. I'm trying to understand which is it. Is it Ms. Gaffney's work had some part in your misinterpretation of bits and bytes, or her work had no part in your misinterpretation of bits and bytes?
Some part.
So you do attempt to lay some blame on Ms. Gaffney for your misinterpretation of bits and bytes, correct?
No, I'm not trying to blame anyone.
Okay. In your January 30, 2025 report, are you consistent with your criticism of Ms. Gaffney?
As I recall, yeah, I believe so, yes.
In fact, you yourself provided the explanation for why the micro SD card was not extracted during the original chip-off, didn't you?
Yes, that it was overlooked.
Right.
Yes.
So, if you could please turn to page 5 of your January 30, 2025 report.
Okay.
And sir, when you get there, if you could let me know, and I will then proceed with questions.
Okay.
So you do attribute to Ms. Gaffney in your report some responsibility for this micro SD card not being extracted during the original chip off. Is that correct?
Yes.
So let's go to page 5 of your report, sir. And bear with me, I want to get you the exact location. I don't have it exactly, but I want to quote it. Your Honor, may I have a moment to get the exact quote?
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Your Honor. I now have it. Mr. Burgess, if you could turn to page 5, as I was referencing, and go to the third full paragraph. If you could look about two-thirds of the way down the far right, you see the word where it starts with at. It's the paragraph beginning when examining vehicle systems.
Yes, I do. Yes, I see it.
And do you see the at? Is it the very far right of that paragraph?
Yes.
So it says, at the time of the incident, Birla, and Birla is what? Can you read?
Birla is a company that offers and develops forensic hardware and software for vehicle modules.
Right. So at the time of the incident, Birla did not offer support for the infotainment and telematics modules removed from the Lexus, but have since released updated software indicating similar modules are supported via in-vehicle acquisition. According to Birla, currently there are two known and documented modules within the vehicle that have the capability to store data. The infotainment module removed from Ms. Reed's Lexus is consistent with the MMU documented by Birla and has been identified as containing an internal micro SD card not acquired during the initial chip-off acquisition by Ms. Gaffney. Did I read that correctly?
Yes, you did.
So as you stated, Birla is the organization that you described, which for the purpose you did, I'm not going to repeat it on direct examination. If I could sort of put in layman's terms and see, you tell me if this is correct. Birla produces hardware and software to make it easier for non-technical people, as you put it, to extract data from a vehicle, correct?
Correct.
You describe in your January 30, 2025 report that at the time of the initial chip-off, Birla did not provide support for the information contained on the micro SD card, correct?
No, so I think you're misreading that last sentence, and I can clarify.
Can you read the last sentence, sir?
I can. So the infotainment module removed from Ms. Reed's Lexus is consistent with the MMU documented by Birla and has been identified as containing an internal micro SD card not acquired during the initial chip-off acquisition by Ms. Gaffney.
So my question is, did or did not Birla, at the time of the initial chip-off by Ms. Gaffney, provide the technical support to address the information contained on the micro SD card?
No, Birla did not and does not.
Good. That I wanted to...
That was my identifier,
right,
of the micro SD card. Correct.
So it was not until after the initial chip-off that Ms. Gaffney participated in, that Birla updated their software to be able to identify the types of data, for Birla software to be able to identify the types of data contained within the micro SD card on the Lexus circuit board. Is that correct?
No, that's incorrect.
So Birla didn't do anything new after the initial chip off with its software?
Sure. So Birla released new software after the initial chip off that addresses being able to download software via the infotainment module while it's in the vehicle. So that involves plugging a USB in to the vehicle and downloading data. That does not address the micro SD card on the circuit board itself.
And Ms. Gaffney did not have, at the time of the initial chip off, that updated Birla software, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate your questioning. Thank you for answering my questions. That's all I have at this time, Your Honor, but I have a bit to pack up so Mr. Brennan can have a clear podium.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for that opportunity, Your Honor.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Do you know what a sequestration order is?
Yes, I do.
And what is it?
So it would be an order to not view any testimony of a trial, is my general understanding.
Does that mean that you can't watch any of it on television?
Correct.
Do you understand whether or not you can speak to attorneys about testimony? Is that precluded as well?
I'm not aware either way.
Has anybody ever spoken to you about any testimony about that occurred in this trial before you testified?
No, they have not.
Have I ever discussed, intimated, or suggested any information whatsoever to you about arguments, testimony, or anything about this case as it's ongoing?
No, you have not.
Do you follow the rules, sir?
Yes, I do.
Have you followed them in this case?
Yes, I have.
When you gave your opinions and you've testified, do you have any information or knowledge about this trial as it actually occurred until the point when you testified?
No, I do not.
You were asked some questions about your CV. A CV is a resume?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And you were asked about a LinkedIn account?
Yes, I was.
Is your LinkedIn account different than your CV?
Yes, it is.
And in this case, when did you learn that your LinkedIn account was wrong or had not been updated? When was the first time you learned that?
That was yesterday.
When you started your LinkedIn account, do you remember when it was you set it up?
I do not. It would have been maybe 10 years ago or more.
Do you routinely update your LinkedIn account?
No, I do not.
When you set up your LinkedIn account, the section where it asks for education, whether graduated or ongoing. Do you remember filling out that section?
I don't particularly remember filling it out, but obviously I did at some point.
When you were asked about Aperture's website, how many experts are associated with Aperture?
I could give you a rough number between 80 and 100.
How many offices?
15 or so.
Are you involved in the website design or content?
No, I'm not.
Do you know if Aperture gets the information from their website directly from LinkedIn?
I don't know where they get all of their information from.
Did you ever weigh in or develop your information that was on Aperture's website?
No, not on the website.
You do provide CVs before you come to court, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And in this case, you were asked by the defense, when you provide your CV, do you understand that it's going to be reviewed by whoever requests it, the Commonwealth or the defense?
Yes, I do.
And that it will be shared with both sides in the court?
Yes.
And in fact, the first time you provided a CV in this case, was it October 11, 2014?
Objection, Your Honor.
So the leading nature sustained.
Do you remember the first time you provided a CV in this case?
It would have been around October.
What year?
2024, sorry.
And when you provided that, was it as an exhibit to something?
Yes, if I recall, it was as an exhibit to the initial protocol that I sent out.
And when you submitted that CV, did you appreciate whether or not it would be part of a court filing in public?
Yes, I did.
If I could have exhibit 183, please. You could enlarge the top section. Right there is good. And sir, when you provided this CV to be filed with the court and made public, did you indicate that you had obtained a bachelor degree?
No, I did not.
Why did you put currently pursuing?
Because I am currently pursuing a bachelor's degree.
And did you understand your CV was received by the defense and they knew this?
Yes, I do understand that.
Subsequently, you were asked to provide an updated CV in April 2025?
Yes, I was.
Did you do that?
I did.
And can we have exhibit 184? Did you further appreciate this would be provided to both the court and the defense?
Yes, I did.
Did you represent to the defense that your education included earning a bachelor degree?
No, I did not.
You've testified in, you can take that down, please. You've testified in many other cases?
I have, yes.
In courts around the country?
Yes, I have.
And when you've testified in other courts around the country, do you know whether there are transcripts of your actual testimony?
Yes, I believe there are.
Have you ever represented in any court that you achieved your bachelor's degree?
No, I have not.
Have you ever inflated your qualifications in a court?
No, I have not.
When I asked you about some of your background, you told us that you had certificates in Cellebrite and Axiom. I didn't go through all of the qualifications and all of the accomplishments you had, did I?
No, you did not.
Do you have professional certifications, GIAC, Advanced Smartphone Forensic Analysis?
Yes, I do.
Do you have professional certification from CCME, Cellebrite Certified Mobile Examiner?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Do you have professional certifications as a Magnet Certified Forensic Examiner?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained for the same reason.
I'm sorry?
Sustained for the same reason.
Do you have a number of certificates that I did not ask you about?
Yes, you did.
Can
I
you
did,
share
yes.
some of those with us?
Sure. So one of those is going to be GIAC, Advanced Smartphone Forensics. So that's going to be Global Information Assurance Certification. And that is basically a 40-hour class with a, or 48-hour class with a test at the end to get that certification. There is also a Cellebrite Certified Mobile Examiner certification. That is specifically to, you know, kind of demonstrate your knowledge of the Cellebrite software, as well as Magnet Forensics certifications, again, for their software specifically.
Any certifications regarding computer hacking?
What was that last part? Sorry.
Any certifications regarding computer hacking?
No, not currently.
Okay. Did you also take any classes regarding crash data or Bosch?
Yes, I have.
What do you have for certificates in that arena?
So those certifications would be crash data retrieval technician and crash data retrieval analyst. So those courses would be around acquiring and analyzing crash data from airbag control modules.
You mentioned that you had over 700 hours.
Yes, I do.
Of classes and certification.
Yes, that's of classes and classes and seminars or conferences, specifically in digital forensics or vehicle forensics.
Do you need a bachelor's degree to be competent and achieve in this area?
No, I do not.
Is a bachelor's degree a prerequisite of success in a particular field?
No, it is not.
You ever hear of Bill Gates?
Yes.
Steve Jobs?
Yes.
Oprah Winfrey?
Sustained.
You had become engaged in this case in October 2024?
Correct.
And when you first became engaged, you had a chance to look at photographs and some data?
Yes, I did.
At that point, you hadn't had a chance. Did you have, had you had a chance to actually inspect any of the physical property?
No, I had not.
Did you have an understanding that somebody else did?
Yes, I did.
Who?
Miss Gaffney and a number of other people with the MSP.
Attended some type of procedure?
Correct.
And do you know who led the actual procedure?
As far as I'm aware, it would have been Miss Gaffney.
The defense expert?
Correct.
You filed a protocol. What was the purpose in October when you first got involved in filing a protocol?
Sure. So the first purpose of the protocol was just to address the fact that we were missing data that we expected and address a potential solution to gather more data.
Without having looked at the physical property, the actual boards, how did you conclude simply on data and photographs that there was missing data?
Sure. So that would be reviewing the initial data that was provided and not seeing user data like I would expect. And that's because there's a number of different chips that are on a circuit board for an infotainment or a telematics or any other module. And there's a number of different data bearing chips. The purpose of those chips will vary. Some chips' main purpose is to store user data. Some chips' main purpose is to store software or firmware. So if you're gathering, you know, acquiring data from chips that only have software and firmware, then you would not expect or you would not see user data within those chips.
When you made that analysis and concluded that there was missing data, had there been any report provided by Ms. Gaffney suggesting there was missing data?
No, there was not.
Had there been any analysis or opinion alerting that there was missing data?
No, there was not.
Was there anything to indicate that the person who did this test missed data at that point?
No, not at that point.
When you decided to write a protocol so you could actually look at the boards and do an analysis, did you put that protocol in writing?
Yes, I did.
And do you remember if that was around October 10, 2024?
That sounds familiar, yes.
Now, when you were cross-examined, the attorney asked you if you knew what the word mendacity meant. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And you didn't know. Do you now know that means to lie or be untruthful?
Sustained.
He didn't ask you a question. He just asked you if you knew what the word was. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you remember he also, on cross-examination, suggested that when you had your mistake about megabytes, megabits, it was the defense expert that alerted you to that mistake? Do you remember that suggestion by the defense?
Yes, I do.
Did they ever show you the documents so you could see the chronology?
No, they did not.
Okay. You wrote a report on October 10, 2024. Did you then write another report, a supplemental protocol?
Yes, so I did write that initial protocol and then a supplemental protocol.
Was that on October 17th, 2024?
That sounds about right.
When you wrote that a week later, at that point, had you realized your mistake?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Why did you...
Can we approach, please?
Okay.
When you realized your error, what did you do?
So I intended to correct it with a supplemental protocol.
When you corrected it with a supplemental protocol, do you remember what date that was?
Not specifically, I do not.
Okay. If I showed you your report, would that help your memory?
Yes, it would.
May I approach?
Yes.
Please don't read this, just look at it. And if it refreshes your memory, let me know, and then I'll ask you a question.
Yes, it does.
When did you correct your error with the supplemental protocol?
That was on October 17th, 2024.
And do you remember the date that you first received any information from Mr. DeSorga?
No, I do not specifically.
Do you remember the date when Mr. DeSorga's information was first filed?
No, I do not.
Okay. And do you know if it was, whether it was after your October 17th supplementary report?
Not specifically, but I believe it was after.
Okay. And so when it was suggested that you had to be schooled or advised by Mr. DeSorga, was that accurate?
Objection, Your Honor.
Word it differently. Word it differently.
The claim that was made that you weren't aware until someone advised you of your error, was that true?
No, that was untrue.
When you realized there was an error and put it in a report, were you ever dissuaded from publicly alerting all the parties of your mistake?
No.
Do you leave stuff in or out of a report if you find it helpful or hurtful to one side?
No, I do not.
Have you, in this effort that you've made in this case, have you always been encouraged to provide all information regardless of what it is?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to allow that.
Yes, I have.
And who's encouraged you to always provide all information, regardless of what it says?
No one. So my job is to assist the jury. So the jury, assisting the jury means presenting all the information.
Have you ever been discouraged by me?
No, I have not.
When you looked at the photographs and you looked at the boards without actually touching them, how long did it take you to figure out that there was some other vehicle for data?
Sure. So it took a few times to look at the photographs before I identified the micro SD card slot.
You were asked whether it's important to be accurate and reliable. Is it in this field?
Yes, it is.
And if data is not found on the chips, is it a standard practice to look elsewhere?
Yes, that would be a standard practice.
Was that done in this case before you became involved?
No, it was not.
Who was the first person to identify where the missing information was?
Myself.
What happens if you miss information because you don't see it?
So if you miss information, that's information that won't help in the analysis.
In this case, the information on the SD card that you found, how important was that to this entire analysis?
It was important to timestamp certain events.
Without that information in the SD card, would you have been able to so accurately timestamp certain events?
No, not so accurately.
Before you were involved, was that information, that very important information for timestamps, was that available for either side?
No, it was not.
Is it now?
It is.
You were asked about Birla. When Birla did not have updated software to simply plug into a car and download the information, what process would have to be used?
Sure. So best practice for vehicle forensics is if the module or a vehicle is not supported by a forensic tool, would be to remove that module, or let me start over, manually document the screens on that infotainment module if it's available and it can be powered up. But then also going through disassembling the module, identifying any type of chips or SD cards that may hold data, and acquiring that data.
Is that called a chip-off process?
It is called a chip-off process.
Does it describe the process well, chip-off?
Yes, it does.
Since Ms. Gaffney did the original analysis and did that chip-off, has the software updated?
Yes.
Is that the Birla software?
No, I'm sorry. So she has not done a updated analysis with the Birla software.
But has the Birla software itself updated?
So the Birla software itself has updated, but it is limited to, again, plugging in a USB into the infotainment module while it's in the car running.
Does the updates in Birla software have anything to do with the SD card?
No, it does not.
Why not?
Because, again, they're going a different route to acquire data. And they are acquiring a limited amount of data through what's called diagnostic logs. So if you think of diagnostic logs, your radio unit is keeping logs of any time things happen on the radio for manufacturer's purposes. So Birla is taking those logs and they can interpret some of those logs. They are not acquiring all the data that is on the SD card itself.
You have drafted a number of reports in this case?
I have, yes.
Regarding the chip-off process, did Ms. Gaffney ever write a report?
No, not that I'm aware of.
When you wrote reports in this case, do you expect for them to be shared?
Yes, I do.
When other experts, like, for example, Mr. DeSorga writes a report, do you expect to have a copy and review it?
Yes.
Sustained.
What is the standard practice when there are reports from different experts regarding the same subject matter?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Is there a standard practice regarding reviewing reports from similar experts in similar subject matter?
Sure. So anytime a report is written by an expert, that report would be provided and shared with opposing experts.
Reports, do they always come at the same time in a case?
No, they do not.
When you wrote your reports, how would you provide them so they could be disseminated?
Sure. So that I would typically provide them to the client or the attorney that hired me, and then that would be disseminated from there. Okay.
Did you have an opportunity to receive Mr. DeSorga's March 5th, 2025 PowerPoint?
Yes, I did.
Well, you provided that by me, the Commonwealth.
Yes, I was.
And were you asked or given any direction on what you could or should do?
No, I was not.
Were you ever asked to reach any particular result?
No, I was not.
Were you ever asked to avoid anything?
No, I was not.
What did you see your role as when you receive a report from another expert like Mr. DeSorga?
Sure. So when I receive a report, I would typically review it. And then make a decision if it's better to address any issues in that report through testimony or address those with a supplemental report.
And in that analysis, do you follow your own discretion or do you follow directions of the client?
No, I would follow my own discretion.
Did you ever receive any direction on what you should and shouldn't do regarding considering Mr. DeSorga's report?
No, I did not.
When you looked at Mr. DeSorga's report, did you have concerns about his report?
I did, yes.
I want to talk about his report in detail. Before we get there, share with us what your general concerns were about Mr. DeSorga's report when you reviewed the whole report.
Sure. So what Mr. DeSorga does is take a couple different adjustment methods to attempt to adjust the clock from the Lexus with the iPhone. But what he does is takes a lot of methods or data points that are not applicable to the time that we're interested in.
What do you mean? Can you explain with a little more specificity what he does?
Sure. So if you think about it, your clock is constantly changing as far as it syncs up with other GPS satellites or network time servers, and it's updating constantly. So a clock variance between two devices may be different at, say, 12 o'clock in the day versus 1 o'clock in the day. So best practice is to choose an event that is nearest to your time in question. So you have the most appropriate adjustment for that clock variance.
Mr. DeSorga's analysis, did he choose the event most closely tied to the backing up event?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
The backing up event. Are you familiar with that time frame?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Was Mr. DeSorga's analysis based on information most closely related to that event?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
What information did Mr. DeSorga choose to use for that analysis relative to the backing up event?
Sure. So he chose a couple things. That's going to be call logs that happened on both the devices or that was recorded on both the devices, as well as a GPS point, data point, which was incorrectly identified as being near that or encompassing that three-point turn. So what we did is did a more thorough analysis of that three-point turn event, when it occurred within the iPhone data, and then compared that and adjusted with the Lexus.
Explain to us your concern about using call logs.
Sure. So there's a number of call logs that you saw earlier that were recorded by the phone and the Lexus.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.